Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Grave Shelter by Kate Allenton, narrated by Carrie Coelho. Chapter 1. 20 years ago. Camilla Tate had waited in the boathouse for him for what seemed like forever. Every time the dock creaked or the water lapped against the boathouse, butterflies took flight in her stomach. She had it all planned, with a picnic basket filled with delicious food, a bottle of non-alcoholic sparkling champagne, and his favorite beer sat in a cooler chilling on ice. Things hadn't always been good. This news was going to change things. She was sure of that. They'd figure out the rest together. She never questioned whether he loved her. She could read it in his eyes, see it in the way he looked at her. It was always there. He was the yin to her yang. That was why they worked and belonged together, like light and dark. She peeked through the window toward the house, a darkened shadow headed in her direction. This was it. Her life was about to change, one way or another. She let out a shaky breath. She had to do this. They'd been honest to a fault from the very beginning. That was the way he'd demanded they be with each other. He'd know how to make this work for both of them. He'd be happy, or so she hoped. Footsteps fell on the dock as the shadow got closer. Camilla shoved the pregnancy stick into her pocket and turned to grab one of his favorite beers.
"Took you long enough. I've been waiting forever," she said,
popping the top on the beer with her back toward the door. Hands landed on her waist as a body pressed against her back. Heated breath lingered in her ear.
"I could say the same thing."
She recognized the voice a second too late. Fingers wrapped around the long column of her throat as the pinprick of a needle stabbed her skin. Her vision blurred. This wasn't happening. This wasn't how it was supposed to go. She blinked once, then twice. With each close of her eyes, the world around her turned hazier until she couldn't blink anymore. It could have been minutes or hours. She was unsure when the feeling started coming back into her body. The lumpy mattress she was laying on wasn't hers. Her eyes jolted open. She was no longer in the boathouse. Pain radiated in her head, the throbbing almost unbearable and making her stomach roll. Her throat felt like sandpaper. She scrambled to sit up too fast. Her stomach revolted, and she was barely able to keep down her dinner. She inhaled, trying to remain calm. In and out, she practiced breathing. She was still alive. Her hand rested on her stomach. They both were. The spinning room around her came into focus. The sparsely furnished area had a rancid smell of urine. The single mattress lay on the floor. The bare concrete walls were yellowing and aged. Her unfamiliar surroundings made her heart quicken. Where the hell was she? Her clothes had been removed and replaced with a nightgown. Her foot was locked in a heavy shackle attached with iron chains to the bedpost. An ungodly fear flooded her body, making her stomach contents churn to life again. She jumped from the bed and scrambled toward the open bathroom door, pulling the chain with her. It was barely long enough to reach the toilet as she heaved. Uncontrollable tears rolled down her face as the retching subsided. She flushed the toilet and stood on shaky legs. No mirror hung above the sink, and there was nothing on the counters to use as a weapon. The dirty bathtub was empty of toiletries, so no hope of finding a razor. Click. Screech. Creak. Her body trembled as she peeked back into the room. The large, heavy-looking door slowly opened, revealing an ominous, formidable figure standing in the darkened hallway. She was no longer alone. A year later. Camilla Tate's eyes slid open as she struggled to breathe. She was concentrating on breathing in and out. That was all her body would allow. He'd kept her alive for an entire year, and it might have been longer if she hadn't screwed up. Dark, angry clouds gathered above, moving and giving her a glimpse of the full moon. A raindrop splashed in her eye. A storm was coming, one she wouldn't live to see. Unable to move, she recognized the familiar sound of oars hitting water, creating waves, and the boat sway. She'd grown up on this lake, never expecting to die in it. She'd screwed up this time. Her prone body lay unmoving at the bottom of the boat. The end was near, and there was nothing she could do about it. This was where her new life was supposed to start, a year ago. Instead, it was going to end here. 12 agonizing months, and her luck had run out. No amount of pleading and lying would save her life this time. She screamed in her mind because her vocal cords didn't work. Freedom had been in her grasp. She'd planned how she and the baby were going to escape. Well, she'd planned everything but his early return. Her mind was a haze as she fought to remember. He'd taken her baby. He'd beaten her and knocked her out when she fought back, no longer the same docile woman he'd kidnapped almost a year ago. It wasn't just her life she was fighting to save anymore. It was her baby's future, too. Uncontrollable tears slid down her face. Her poor, defenseless baby would be left alone, raised by a maniac if she died. She struggled, willing her feet or hands to move. Nothing. She couldn't feel them at all. He continued to row as she tried to bring her body back to life. She concentrated on a single pinky. Tears slid down her face. "I can do this. I have to do this," Camilla repeated, over and over again. Some time passed as he continued to row. She screamed for joy in her head when first one finger and then two wiggled. She needed more. So much more. She couldn't feel his hands as he wrapped her in a blue tarp, hefting her onto the boat's ledge.
"You did this. This is all your fault."
He leaned down and pressed a kiss to her lips. If she could have turned away, she would have. Instead, more tears pooled, making her gaze blurry. Her lip trembled. The added movement still wouldn't be enough. There was nothing she could say to stop him, even if she could talk. She couldn't feel the icy water when her body splashed. She couldn't feel the burn from her lungs as her life's air slowly escaped. The moonlight overhead became farther away as her body sank deeper into the inky darkness. The sweet baby boy's face flashed in her mind, the last image. Now she understood a mother's fear for her child's safety. It was the last fear this monster had left swimming in her mind. Her final thought was how she'd been lucky enough to see him live. She held that feeling and memory until she couldn't feel or remember anything anymore, when the last bubble of air slipped free. Chapter 2. Present Day. Psychic Riley St. James's feet pounded against the forest as the beam of her flashlight jostled from jumping over a patch of broken branches. Running was never her idea of a good time, but tonight she'd been left with no choice. Sleeping was more important, always, and Riley wasn't getting any until she finished this. She'd learned that lesson at a young age, when the first creepy-ass ghost stalked out of her closet nightly and wouldn't leave her alone. They all had to go. None were welcome to stay. Riley's lungs burned as rings of breath frosted and crystallized in the air, The telling chill suggested winter was fast approaching. Chill or not, she was not losing this damn ghost. Not this time. Riley swerved, just barely bypassing a tree trunk in her way. It was a twisted version of playing tag, when ghosts could float through objects that normal people had to maneuver around.
Riley, stop! Or at least slow down! You might be running into a trap!
Detective Jake Cruz called out from somewhere behind. It wouldn't be the first time a ghost had led her astray. Riley didn't slow. A flash of red in the distance had her speeding up, pushing her arms and legs harder and faster through the trees. She was getting this done tonight, no matter what.
Faster, Riley! Don't lose her!
Private Investigator Logan Bain called out, contradicting Cruz. The fact that the detective's ex-BFF and disgraced partner were working together made the night 10 times icier. She wasn't listening to either of them. Tonight, she had her own agenda, which included a rekindled relationship with the back of her eyelids. Brittle leaves crunched beneath her running shoes. She'd come prepared for a long haul. She might need an oxygen mask when she was done, but come hell or high water, she was dealing with this tonight. Nothing was going to stop her. A little girl's giggle crested in the wind. Riley narrowed her eyes at the taunt. Her body and mind protested, even as apprehension slithered down her spine. A decent night's sleep was within reach. She could feel the tendrils in her grasp.
This way! Hurry up!
She didn't dare look back to see where the others were. One mistimed blink or distraction, and she could trip and fall over a log, and the spirit might disappear again. The undergrowth thinned, giving her a glimpse of the moonlight glistening off the lake. They were running out of forest, and Riley couldn't walk on water, unlike her prey. Urgency licked through her veins. Voices grew louder the faster she ran. Sounds and music came from campers somewhere nearby. She grinned. There would be no turning back. No one but herself to blame. Even if she had to knock people out of her way as she passed. Assault charges would be worth it. She broke through the brush and skidded in an attempt to stop. Her foot caught on a retaining wall. Gravity and inertia propelled her forward. Splash! The slap of the cold water stole her breath as a million tiny pinpricks stabbed against her skin from the icy lake water. The giggle grew louder. Riley sputtered, trying to grapple for footing. Wiping the water out of her eyes, she turned every which way in an attempt to locate the source of the giggle.
You found me!
The little girl called out, from a seat on the diving platform several feet away, farther into the inky abyss. She smiled.
You win!
Riley treaded water.
Where's your body? Where are you? You promised to tell me this time, and be specific. No more games.
The girl pointed down into the murky water.
Down there! The platform is his compass. It's so cold. I'm ready to get warm again.
Me too, Riley whispered.
I'm ready to see my mommy.
Is your mom dead too? The girl frowned.
You'll stop him, won't you? You promise that you won't let him hurt anyone else?
She had promised.
I'll do my best.
The little girl nodded.
Riley, you're nuts! Get out of that water before hypothermia sets in,
Detective Cruz called out. Riley ignored him and climbed up onto the diving platform used by the lake residents.
But first, tell me your name.
You promised.
Millie Johnson.
The young girl's spirit started to shimmer. Riley was running out of time.
You're beneath the platform?
The girl nodded.
Me and the others. None of us were right.
Right about what? She asked.
We weren't keepers. He likes this spot. He likes to visit us to remember what he did. When he's done with us, he likes to put us in the lake. Only when the moon is full.
Every full moon? Riley's heart raced as she glanced at the sky. They were running out of time.
No, only when he's done with them. I saw him when he thought no one was watching. That's why he took me. He promised that one day he'd stop, but I didn't believe him. That made him angry, so he added me to his collection.
The cool air cut through Riley's soul, causing goosebumps to rise all over her body. She dropped to her knees in front of the little girl.
Who did this, sweetie? Who likes to visit this spot? The bad man. He sees everything. Everyone. If you get caught, there is no escaping him. We all tried. And we all died.
Her voice broke off just as her spirit disappeared.
Riley, talk to me, Detective Cruz yelled out.
Riley glanced down at the inky water in front of her. One spirit after the next floated up to the surface, face down, as if trapped in their final resting state while in spirit form. Women. Too many to count.
You're going to need divers and body bags. Lots of body bags.
Damn it, Cruz growled.
Chapter 3. Riley sipped hot coffee beneath the warmth of a police blanket as she stood on the lake shoreline bathed in police spotlights. She'd changed into dry clothes hours ago, even though her hair wasn't fully dry. 5 body bags, filled, rested on top of the diving platform. There was no telling how many more were down there. Millie was the first to come out. Her red flannel dress gave away her identity. Her apparition appeared when her body surfaced. A worried longing filled her tiny face, instead of a look of relief.
You promised.
The words echoed in Riley's mind as the little girl's spirit vanished. Riley's shoulders eased. She'd been trying to get that little girl to talk for 2 weeks and had lost way too much sleep. She was going to sleep for days, starting tonight.
You did good,
Private Investigator Logan Bain said, wrapping an arm around her shoulder.
Cruz was right, though. You shouldn't have gone into the lake. You could have gotten hypothermia. But you did good.
A midnight swim wasn't my intention, and Millie didn't warn me.
She gonna leave you alone now?
Riley shrugged, not 100% sure.
I hope so. I don't think they're going to let me near her body to touch her bones and send her into the light.
At least not yet. Like any other time, she might just need to bribe someone at the medical examiner's office to get close enough, if Millie didn't leave on her own accord.
I'm sure she will. She's a kid. She shouldn't have much reason to stick around.
She's bad for business. Lack of sleep makes me cranky, and you know it's a problem when the lushes at my bar have started to notice.
Sheriff Kavanaugh had arrived 10 minutes ago. His voice stayed low as he spoke with Detective Cruz. This was the most morbid find of the decade. A serial killer's cache. An evil dumping ground. Some might say this killer needed a pair of metal bracelets and to die behind bars. Metal bracelets were two kind. Feet plastered in concrete and tied to chains, dumped in the same spot where the last victim was pulled out, would do the trick. If Riley were more like her criminal father, she'd make sure he received the same treatment. Hell, she still might. If not in this water, she owned the perfect piece of tainted land. Cruz nodded and lowered his head as Sheriff Kavanaugh, clearly irritated, pointed a finger in Riley's direction. She took a step, and Bain held on tighter.
You don't want to get in the middle of that. The sheriff isn't much of a believer in anything but facts.
She shrugged out of his hold and smiled.
Maybe it's time someone opened his eyes.
Crew's eyes widened when he spotted her headed in their direction. He shook his head slightly in warning, which only made her smile grow.
Sheriff, she called out as she approached. You going to give me a key to the city for finding the serial killer's graveyard?
The sheriff's eye twitched. Riley had that effect on people.
Guess not. So are you going to give Cruz the commendation? I would say that he excelled at his job tonight.
Commendation for what, exactly? Disobeying a direct order?
She frowned.
Our straight-laced Cruz would never do that.
Riley, you're not helping, Cruz muttered beneath his breath. You must be rubbing off on him.
Kavanaugh's sharp voice overflowed with irritation.
She brought out the best in everybody. It was another one of her charms. Judging by the look of things, I think you have about a half dozen cases that are about to heat up.
Riley gestured down to the diving platform.
There's no telling how many more are down there.
Kavanaugh turned the weight of his attention on her as he spoke.
Cruz, go get me an update while Ms. St. James and I come to an understanding.
Yes, sir,
Cruz said, hurrying off.
Chicken.
Kavanaugh rested his hand on his gun belt. His buttons were more than pushed. They seemed ready to pop, and she was prepared to jab them some more.
You care to explain how you knew the bodies were there?
A ghost told me. Millie Johnson, to be exact, after she made me chase her through the woods and take a midnight swim. You're welcome.
How do you think the press will feel about a cop ignoring his superior officer and taking instruction from a psychic? I have grounds to fire him.
But you won't. Imagine the press. She grinned. I'm sure you'll figure out how to spin it and take it as a win.
She patted his arm.
Just like you did with Cruz's mother's case.
His narrowed eyes turned deadly.
I helped find Millie for your investigation. It can be our little secret. And if you play your cards right, I might help again. But only if you ask nicely.
Now listen here, Ms. St. James.
Every syllable of her name sounded like it was going to jail.
You better hope that there's no evidence linking you to those victims. If there is even one shred of it, I'll have you behind bars so fast that your fancy lawyers won't even be able to get you out on bail.
She opened her mouth to protest and then snapped it closed, giving him a double middle finger salute in her mind. Kavanaugh was a man of his word. Not that she'd ever stick around long enough to give him the chance to follow through on his promises. He'd have to catch her first.
Good thing I'm not the killer.
And not even Uncle Freddy will be able to cut through the red tape to save your butt this time.
That was a warning if she'd ever heard one. Riley's brows pulled together. Well played, Sheriff. He knew of her witness protection inclusion. It seemed some little birdie had spilled one of her many secrets. She'd spent years hiding out from the man who wanted her dead. It was just a matter of time before her dear old dad returned to put a bullet through her head. She needed to come to terms with the fact that her secret had been outed months ago. She was living on borrowed time. Kavanaugh walked down the deck, where Cruz was talking to the head diver. Her fingers itched to shove Kavanaugh into the water, make him really respect and understand what she'd gone through to help them with Millie's case. She could pretend to trip right into him and send him over the edge. As much fun as that sounded, having 20 guns turned in her direction wasn't appealing. She wasn't willing to test an itchy trigger finger among the bunch. Still, her lips twisted in a smile at the thought. She cracked her knuckles and headed straight toward him, only getting 3 steps when Logan appeared from behind and grabbed her hand, spinning her around as if he'd somehow read her mind.
I know that look. It leads down a dark path.
I like the dark, she said, glancing back at Kavanaugh.
You like apple pie and coffee even more, and they don't serve that in prison. Come on, let's hit the diner, and I'll buy you breakfast, and throw in a slice of apple pie. It's the least I can do.
I'm going to want more than one piece. Least was right. How much was Millie's teacher paying you?
I can't discuss my clients, Logan said.
You didn't have a problem discussing the case when you asked me for help.
I'm not ashamed to ask for help. You did a good thing, helping those who care about Millie and the countless other families on the verge of getting closure. We both did.
She knew Logan better than he knew himself. Cheating spouse cases kept the lights on. Missing kid cases, he worked pro bono. He only pretended not to have a heart. She'd checked the facts before ever saying yes. Dina King, Millie's Sunday school teacher, had gotten worried about her absence. She'd said that Millie often attended by herself. Her father hadn't even reported her as missing. She'd just vanished after walking away from the church, and no one had seen her since. Well, no one but Riley. She and Bane broke through the trees back to the camping ground parking lot where they'd left their cars. Lights illuminated the area, which was filled with news vans and reporters. Every eye and camera turned on both of them, as reporters rushed forward with questions and insinuations.
Miss St. James, is it true that you found all those bodies?
Miss St. James, did someone tip you off?
Miss St. James, are you really psychic? Miss St. James, do you know who the killer is?
She held her hand to shield her face as she made her way through the crowd.
No comment.
She'd made it to her car parked next to Logan's SUV when the sheriff stepped out from the same path. The reporters rushed away, their questions filling the midnight air.
I'll meet you at the diner, Logan said as he slid into his car.
She dug out her keys and popped the trunk. Her wet clothes from the midnight swim lay on a towel next to her go bag. She'd already pulled out most of the clothes and changed, making a mental note to refill the bag tomorrow. She grabbed the last remaining sweatshirt, leaving only the sage, salt, and a lighter behind. She shrugged into the sweatshirt, thankful for the extra layer of added warmth from her wet hair. Logan pulled out, leaving a plume of dust in his wake, as she slammed the trunk and slipped into her car, sliding the keys into the ignition. An overwhelming urgency filled her veins, the likes of which she hadn't felt since the night she shot her father. The hairs on her neck stood on end, making her pause. The weight of darkness closing in on her made her dizzy. Someone was watching. A little boy stood in the distance. His ghostly form was staring at her. Chapter 4. No way was she having another sleepless night. She killed the ignition and got out, headed in his direction.
Look, if you were one of the bodies in the lake, you've been found. You should...
He vanished, reappearing farther into the woods, away from the lake and the reporters. She sighed in aggravation and grumbled beneath her breath.
Listen here, you little...
The boy turned to glance back at her, before pointing toward another dirt path hidden by shrubs. She stopped and glanced back once more, debating what to do. Going into the woods was reckless and dangerous, but telling a cop that she'd spotted another ghost would get her locked up for sure. Apparently, finding the X that marked the spot made her murder suspect number one. She moved back to the car and popped the trunk, pulling out her taser and cell phone for good measure, and went back to following the little ghost boy. Voices sounded in the distance. These were different from the laughing ones down by the lake. Male voices, loud and angry. She stopped just inside the tree line, where a fence, laden with no trespassing signs, blocked her path. A house was off in the distance.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?